I think. Hello? I call out. No one answers. In the distance, I hear quiet murmuring and the soft click of shoes along the walkways outside the cells, which must belong to prison guards. I grimace. If that's the case, then there are at least a handful of people who know what happened to the warrior women who disappeared from the other world, and they're facilitating it. Other than those few sounds, the cell blocks are eerily silent. This is the place where hope comes to die. And then a thought strikes me, one that gives me courage. Bargainer, I rush to say, I'd like to make a deal. I wait for the air to shimmer in Dez's large body to take up space in my cell. A second passes, then another, and another. The cell remains exactly how I found it. Bargainer, I'd like to make a deal, I repeat. He's always come in the past. Always. And after last night, I know that he will come for me now that our 7 years are up. Again, I wait. Nothing happens. My room remains empty. Horribly empty. And now I have to accept that Dez can't get to me, either because he's been incapacitated, an idea I reject with every fiber of my being, or something is preventing him. Something like magic. Something so powerful a fey king cannot get immediately around it. That's what I now have to contend with. And if I want to make it out of here alive, I'll need to figure out a way to get past it. Captivity is boring. Frightening, but boring. It consists largely of me sitting in my cell, wondering what exactly is going to happen to me and how I managed to land myself into an otherworld prison. One that is secretly capturing fey females for some nefarious purpose. My thoughts are only interrupted every hour or so when a set of guards makes their circuit past my cell. The first time I saw them, I'd startled at the sight. Each one looks like a blend of animal and man. Some have snouts instead of noses, others haunches instead of legs, and some whiskers, claws, and fangs. To a human like me, the sight is off-putting. But then again, the guards are also currently my enemies, so I'm a bit biased. The only time the guards stray from their hourly patrol is when, like now, two of them cart a fey woman by the armpits back to her cell. I press my face to the bars, taking in her slumped shoulders, her bowed head, and her lank hair, which hangs loosely in front of her face. Her bare feet drag along the ground behind her. I watch until they move past my line of sight, their footsteps echoing in the cavernous room. My eyes drift to the other prisoners. Most either sit or lay unmoving inside their cells. I don't think they're dead, but they don't look all that lively either. Not dead, but not alive. And is that going to happen to me, too? I'm no fey warrior. I'm what fairies derogatively call a slave. A human. To be fair, I'm a supernatural one, but at the end of the day, I'm still human. I have no value here as a prisoner. So why was I taken? The answer is right there in front of me. Because you mean something to the King of the Night. Somehow his enemies learned this, and they captured me to get to him. I stare down at my wisp of a dress, not even going to think about the fact that I didn't put this on. My situation has enough horror in it as is. An evening of bliss, followed by this. I got to enjoy the perks of being the Night King's mate for a whopping day. And now this. Here it is, the fall after the high. And in my world, there's always a fall. I knew it was too good to think that I would just get a man like Dez after all this time. He was always meant to be someone just out of my reach. Two sets of footsteps head in my direction, interrupting my thoughts. Another rotation for the prison guard. Only this time, they halt in front of my prison. The iron shackles clang between my ankles and my wrists as the guards on either side of me lead me away from my prison cell. My nose itches as the blindfold one of the guards tied around my head now tickles my nose. Overkill much? I don't even get to be flattered by it, either. It's probably standard procedure for the incarcerated warriors. It could be worse. If I were a fey, the iron cuffs wouldn't simply be rubbing away skin. It would be sizzling my flesh and draining me of energy. Gradually, the quiet murmurs die away and the air begins to smell fresher, though it's still musty, heavy with the scent of animals. takes another 5 minutes before I'm deposited in a room. The air here feels heavy, ominous. Bad things happen here. Bad things are going to happen to me. I try not to panic. I spent years making sure I'd never again be a victim, and it was all for naught. My glamour doesn't work on any of these beings, and without it, I'm simply a human woman up against powerful fairies. The guards release me, their footsteps retreating behind me. A moment later, the door opens, then closes softly, and I'm alone again, shackled and blindfolded in this room that feels evil. My awareness stretches out. I can hear someone breathing. Fuck, not alone after all. My panic spikes.
Desmond Flynn's one weakness.
The deep, vibrating voice fills the room, and I can feel the creature's power in his words.
And I have her.
My heart's pounding, and as my fear rises, so does my siren. I hear the sound of heavy footfalls crossing the room towards me. It takes most of my willpower not to stumble backwards.
I would not have imagined the great king of chaos to choose a slave for himself.
The man stops right in front of me. I jolt when I feel his touch along my cheekbone, which must be glowing by this point.
Not even one such as you.
He runs a thumb along my lower lip. The people here call you an enchantress.
But tell me, human, could you enchant me?
Instead of answering, I swat away his hand with my shackled ones. The action earns me a chuckle, and then his hands are back on my face, stroking my skin. Stop touching me, I growl.
Oh, my lady, have you not heard?
I feel his hot breath against my ear.
That's what I'm best at,
he whispers. The siren is restless inside me. He wants an enchantress, let's give him an enchantress, she whispers. Let him think we are willing right up to the last second. Then we'll stand over his body and laugh as he takes his own life. Foolish to cross us. My siren either doesn't realize or care that this man cannot be glamoured. Not if he's fey. He pulls the blindfold off my face and I blink against the light. The first thing I notice are the man's antlers. Sharp, towering antlers that add another 2 feet to the already large stature. Silky chestnut hair frames his tan face. It's the man from my dreams. The slitted pupils of his golden eyes expand as he takes me in.
You are quite beautiful, he says. I can see why the Lord of Secrets has taken you for his mate. But you are painfully weak, he continues. What a vulnerability. He should know better.
Who are you? I ask, my voice ethereal.
My manners!
He bows.
I'm Carnon, king of fauna, master of animals, lord of the wild heart, and king of claws and talons.
The king of fauna? The mad king? Fuckity fuck, that's not good. He straightens, splaying his arms out to display the room around him.
Welcome to my kingdom.
I glance around at the room. Bedroom, I amend. The place is covered in furs. Thick wood and ivory furniture is scattered throughout the room, each piece intricately carved, though none are so impressive as the staggering headboard on his bed. A hunting scene is carved into the wood, embellished with bits of ivory, mother-of-pearl, semi-precious stones, and flecks of gold. A bed for a king. Out of all the rooms to meet him in, this is the one he chooses. Also not good. I tear my eyes away from the massive bed to look at Carnon, who's studying me with a small smile, his eyes narrowed. His eyes dance at the sound of my hypnotic voice. He leans in close, his antlers nearly touching me.
I already have a casket picked out for you, a special coffin for a special lady. We'll deliver you right to your mate's feet.
He knows Des and I are mates? Carnon's finger hooks over the low neck of my dress.
I wonder if it will break him to see his love like that, still as death and holding another man's baby. Will he kill it? Keep it? Oh, the possibilities.
He runs the backs of his fingers over my chest. I notice that blood's dried into the creases of his hand. I swallow at the sight. So far he's only been a bit eccentric, but I have no doubt that at any moment he could snap.
I've never been with a human woman. he continues. He lowers his voice. In the kingdom of Fauna, it's taboo to sleep with a slave. You earthly beasts are so dirty. But you are pleasing enough to look at. His eyes run over me. Yes, quite pleasing. I'm eager to see the rest of you.
Jesus, no one will ever hurt us like before, my siren promises. He will pay.
The king of Fauna tilts his head. Perhaps we should begin now.
Before I have time to react, he grabs my jaw. Looking me in the eye, he leans in and presses his lips to mine. It's not a kiss, not in the truest sense. Instead, he forces my mouth open, then exhales. A rush of magic is forced down my throat, tasting like rot. I struggle against him even as my knees begin to buckle. His arm comes around my waist, holding me up as he continues to breathe into me. I try to bring my knee up to his crotch, but my leg only comes up inches before the shackles around my ankles jerk tight. Karnon doesn't even notice. My chained arms are trapped between us, completely immobilized. As a last-ditch effort, I jerk my head away, then headbutt the King of Fauna. He staggers back, placing a hand to his forehead. Without his grip holding me up, my legs now do buckle. Karnon's lips curl back into what might be a smile. All I see are several sets of fangs. The slave has a little fight in her. I force myself to stand, swaying on my feet. I'm choking on whatever corrupted magic he force-fed into me.
What did you do to me?
I croak, my voice hoarse. He tilts his head, surveying me with those strange eyes of his.
I look forward to seeing more of that pretty skin, he says.
Guards!
He calls, not glancing away from me. Two fey soldiers rush in, one who has feathers for hair, the other who has claws.
We're finished here, Karnon says.
Again I sway on my feet, feeling dizzy and disoriented. Each moment I stand here, I weaken. Something's very wrong with me. Everything's moving slower, my limbs, my mind. Roughly, the soldiers blindfold me again. Gripping my upper arms, the two drag me back to my cell, dumping me carelessly on the pallet in the corner. I'm barely aware of it. Whatever was forced down my throat is slipping through me, turning my veins to ice. They don't bother removing the cloth around my eyes, and I don't have the energy to do it myself. Drifting, drifting. My mind darkens until all that surrounds me is endless, hopeless blackness.
Chapter 26. Choking. Choking on magic. It's pounding behind my forehead, tensing up my muscles, squeezing my insides. I wake with a scream, the sound echoing down the cell block. Somewhere in the distance, a guard growls out a warning. I sit up, panting, placing a sweaty hand to the column of my throat. Just a dream. The stifling darkness, the corrupted magic, Karnon. Only it isn't. I realize as I finally catch my breath. I can still feel his vice-like grip on me, his lips on my mouth, the insidious darkness that's seeped into my veins. My face is coated in sweat, and my stomach is roiling. I barely make it to the toilet in time to vomit. I spend the next several hours like this, either shivering on my pallet or purging my stomach of every last ounce of its contents. At some point, the guards slide a meal through a hatch at the base of the barred wall. The food sits untouched at the edge of my cell. Eventually the sickness dissipates. Not completely, but enough to function. Stomach growling, I drag myself out of bed towards the tin bowl. One glance at the gruel and I decide going hungry is better than spending several more hours with my head in a prison toilet. I lean my sweaty forehead against the bars and stare out of my cell just as a guard approaches. I eye him as he passes, noticing the lion tail that swishes behind him. Do all of Fauna's fairies share aspects with beasts? The guard slows, flashing me a cold look.
Don't stare at me, slave.
I'm so fucking sick of this world already. Nice tail, asshole, I mutter. That stops him in his tracks, and I'm just enough of an idiot to smirk at the fact that I got under his skin. He slams his gloved palms against the bars.
Consider yourself lucky that the king wants to put his dick anywhere near you, he growls.
My smile grows, turning mean. Then I chuck my bowl at the bars, the gruel splashing against his face. Fuck you, pig! I never would have guessed beforehand, but I don't make a very good prisoner. For 1 second, the guard does nothing, his face shocked, and then he lets out a lion's roar, rushing at the bars. I spin to my feet, ignoring a wave of dizziness that rushes through me just as he makes a grab for me. His hand closes on nothing but air.
You filthy, vile slave! He bellows. I could kill you right now, right where you stand!
Light ripples across my skin as my siren surfaces. Could you kill me? I say, my musical voice taunting. Why don't you come in and find out? He roars again, because obviously he can't lay a finger on me. Not the one bargaining chip Carnon believes he has over Dez. Or are you scared? I lean against one of the stone walls. The lion who's scared of a little woman. He snarls, banging against the bars until another soldier, one with horse ears, pulls him away, flashing me a glare that's supposed to scare me. But nothing is more frightening than the fate that already awaits me. I watch them walk away, glad for once that my siren fears nothing and no one. Animals can scent that kind of thing, and that's what these guards are, part animal. Not so different from Eli when it comes down to it. I slide down the wall, leaning my head back against it. I'm exhausted, and it's only been, what, a day? This place breaks us fast.
Psst. Human.
A female voice calls from the cell next to mine once the guards' voices have disappeared.
Are you all right?
Yeah, I call back weakly. My skin stopped shining and all of the strength that comes with the siren has fled, leaving me exhausted.
That was brave, what you did there.
Rash, stupid even, but also brave. I manage a laugh. I don't know much about Fae, but rolling an insult into a compliment seems like something they would do. I lean my head back against the wall. What's your name? I ask her.
Aetherial, she says. Yours?
Calypso.
You're new here, huh?
She asks. Yeah, I sigh out, my eyes moving to those tally marks.
How many times have you met the Fauna King?
She asks after a beat of silence. Apparently I wasn't the only one that got special visits with him. I'd figured as much. Just once.
Oh, fun's only beginning for you, she says.
That makes me crack a smile. My fellow inmates are Fae warriors. These women are the toughest of the tough. Somewhere along the way I'd forgotten that. I'd only associated them with the sleeping women trapped inside those glass coffins. I hadn't thought that they might have fought their fate every bit as much as I was planning to. But right now, hearing Aetherial make light of our terrible situation, I remember.
How many times have you met him? I ask.
4, she says. I've lost movement in my arms and legs. He takes those out first. Doesn't want his women to be difficult.
That's what that kiss was? I say, surprised. That, after all, was the only time Carnon forced his magic on me.
A way to immobilize us? I wiggle my fingers and toes as I speak. I haven't lost any use of my limbs.
Amongst other things, she says darkly.
A shiver races down my spine.
What does that mean?
I ask.
She pauses. Tell me you didn't feel it. That sickness making itself at home in your bones.
I did when I woke, but after puking my guts up, the sensation went away. Now I just feel weak, incredibly weak.
And then, of course, there's the whole matter of getting us pregnant, she adds. You know about that?
I do. Sorry to ruin the surprise, I say. I'm still holding out hope that immaculate conception is involved in that whole process, I add, not really joking.
Immaculate conception, Aetherial repeats, amused. Now that would be something. All of us prisoners just magically getting knocked up.
She chuckles to herself.
I like you, human, she says.
I'm a siren. I'm not sure why I make the clarification, perhaps so that I don't seem quite so helpless amongst all these strong warriors.
A siren, she whistles. And here I was hoping Carnon wouldn't touch you, you being human and all that.
No offense, she adds. I've dallied with plenty of human women in my time, but it's a thing for some Fae. I remember Carnon's earlier words.
So I've heard. We lapse into silence for a bit, both of us likely musing on our fate. What kingdom are you from? I finally ask.
Day. She exhales. Royal guard turned prisoner.
That's irony for you.
It all stings. Hearing her story, knowing her fate, knowing mine.
So tell me, she continues, how does a human come to be trapped in this hellhole with the rest of us?
I have unusually bad luck, I quip, even as I grimace down at my hands. I hear her gruff laughter. Apparently that kind of thing is contagious around here.
Another small smile stretches across my face. Who would have thought I'd become fast friends with a fey warrior while imprisoned? Absently, I watch the guards patrol the rows of cells across from me. Most have some obvious animalistic feature, like whiskers or tails or hooves. But then there are some who walk these halls that don't have these obvious characteristics. Could they be fey from another kingdom? Humans? My heart pounds at that last possibility.
Hey, Ethereal, can you do me a favor? I ask, my eyes studying a uniformed cook delivering tray after tray of prisoner meals.
He looks fully human from here, but I'm so far away it's hard to tell.
What would you like, Siren?
I watch the uniformed man as he moves down a cell.
Can you tell a human from a fey on sight? I ask.
Almost always, she says.
Why?
I can't help the spike of excitement I feel. Have you seen any humans here since you were taken?
Not that I remember. I wasn't looking for them, though.
I continue to stare at the cook as he moves down the cell block. For the life of me, I can't tell what he is.
If you see any, I say distractedly, will you let me know?
If I can get a human to bend to my will, the possibilities are endless. I'm tempted to try out my powers right now, but a healthy dose of fear keeps me quiet. I'm afraid that if I glamour one of these guys prematurely and it doesn't work, the guards will stop me from getting another opportunity.
My view is pretty limited at the moment, but yeah, I'll let you know.
It's silent for a beat.
Is it true, then, what they say about a siren's voice?
My mouth forms a grim line.
It's true.
Your idea will probably get you killed.
I guffaw. You prefer the alternative?
I hear Ethereal's husky laughter.
I was right about you. Stupid and courageous.
Neither of us speak again until a series of guards approach a cell across the way, one of them carrying two large poles over his shoulder. At the back of the cell, a fey woman with flame-red hair lies limp on her pallet. The bars to her cell slide back, the metal scraping along its tracks. The guards file inside the cell, and the guard carrying the poles snaps them open. That's when I realize I'm not staring at poles, per se, but a crude gurney. A stained wisp of cloth is stretched between the two shafts. They set the gurney on the ground, then grab the woman, situating her body on the flimsy material. Then, as one, the two prison guards lift the gurney and cart her out. I watch them until they're out of range.
They remove the lifeless ones, Ethereal says from the cell over, clearly watching alongside me.
They're paralyzing the women.
Stay here long enough, Ethereal continues. It'll happen to you, too.
I frown, even though she can't see it. All those sleeping women in Dez's kingdom, all the paralyzed ones here. It can't be a coincidence. Which means, I think I know who the Thief of Souls is. Carnon. This time when I'm deposited in what I can only presume to be Carnon's room, I know what to expect. The ominous press of air, the silent retreat of the guards, Carnon's approach. I'm once again shackled and blinded, completely at the whim of the monstrous Fey King. However, the moment he speaks, something about our dynamic feels different.
"My precious bird, they blinded you," he says, aghast.
A moment later, his claws slash through the material, leaving the cloth hanging in ribbons around my neck.
"Beautiful creature," he murmurs, taking me in.
His nostrils flare as his gaze rakes over me.
"Human, but not. Creature of the heavens and the sea."
His gaze halts at my hands.
"Shackles, too? This is preposterous. You are my guest."
He rips the iron cuffs binding my wrists clear apart, hissing as he does so. I startle at the show of strength. I assumed he was powerful, but seeing a live demonstration is sobering.
Cursed metal.
He spits out as the cuffs hit the ground. He clenches his fists and I can hear his skin sizzling. Iron burns. In spite of the pain, he reaches between my ankles and rips apart the cuffs there as well, howling once again at the pain. This is what the warriors endured when they wore these? A guard pokes his head in.
Your Majesty, out!
Karnon cries. The door slams shut not even a moment later. To me, he mumbles, they're getting too daring, those guards, coming and going without knocking. Must make an example of one of them, and soon. He's completely unaware that as he talks, his palms are smoking. Karnon rises back up, those antlers of his towering over us. His eyes are bright and unfocused, his pupils dilated. He cups my face, and immediately I tense, his burning palms heating my skin. Frightened little bird, you have nothing to fear from me. He begins to stroke my skin. All I want is to calm you, pet you. Ugh, mad king indeed. His hands run down my arms. Halfway down, he stops and turns them over. What is this bare flesh? He says. Where are your markings? What? His hands move to my neck, and he probes the skin there.
And your gills, he says, horrified. Where are they?
I give him a cautious look. Today Karnon seems kinder, but definitely crazier than the last time we met. He spins me around and sucks in a breath.
Your wings! Who clipped you?
He turns me around, and once again I get a close-up of those wild eyes and the fangs that his lips can never quite hide. His claw tips dig into my flesh. I realize after a moment that he expects me to answer. I blink a few times, dazed by all the manhandling. No one clipped my wings. I never had any to begin with.
You crazy bastard. None to begin with?
He moves behind me, making me tense up again, and he presses his hands flat against my back.
No, no.
He shakes his head vehemently.
Dormant.
He strokes my skin, and I'm beginning to get the willies.
Oh, but they must bud.
I don't follow any of this. I don't speak psycho.
Beautiful bird, tragic bird, my bird. You are not like the others. They smell of trees and sun-baked earth. Some feel cold like the winter freeze. No beasts among them, save for my sacrifices. Must be made, must be made.
If I tried to run right now, how far would I get? His hands move down my back to my waist, and I decide that I don't really care what my odds of escape are. I turn around, letting the siren out. His eyes glitter as he takes in my shimmering skin.
Breathtaking creature, caged, flightless thing. You are a rare...
I slam my knee into his crotch. He makes a small, choked sound, his body folding in as he clutches himself. His mistake to see me is harmless. I bolt for the door. I hear a snarl behind me. A moment later, he materializes in front of me, blocking the door. His eyes flash. A menacing growl rumbles in his throat.
If you run, I will chase you and I will break you, pretty bird.
Stay away from me, I say, my voice becoming ethereal. The Fauna King's eyes flicker and I sense I'm no longer staring at Karnon. Those eyes, I'm looking down an abyss and the monster that lies at the bottom of it. They are the same eyes I stared into yesterday. He runs his hands through his hair, taming his wild mane. This man's not bestial, not like Karnon. He's cultivated. His eyes are focused, shrewd. Interest sparks in his gaze.
Beautiful slave, we meet again.
This is not the same person I was speaking to a moment ago. I'm used to having two aspects of myself, so I know the signs fairly well. The way Karnon is now studying me, his expression peaked and hungry, makes me worried. The Karnon I met earlier was crazy, unpredictable, feral, but he didn't seem evil. Not like he does now. I begin to back up. In response, the Fae King prowls forward. This man is brutal, violent, unforgiving. He's the kind of man who takes and takes and takes. He closes the distance between us, wrapping his hand around my wrist. Karnon's palm moves over my bracelet.
What is this? He fingers the beads. You are not to wear anything but what I give you.
As he speaks, his fingers curl around the bracelet. He yanks hard on it, and I let out a small sound as the beads dig into me. But it doesn't break. Frowning, he tries again. Again my charmed jewelry holds fast. I'd enjoy his frustration if my arm wasn't getting flayed in the process.
What is this magic?
He growls, peering closer at the beads. All at once, he jerks his head back.
The bastard of Orestes,
he snarls, releasing my hand.
Guards!
They enter the room.
Why was I not informed that she wears Desmond's magic?
They look at each other, obviously confused, as if they would know. These guards are obviously just muscle.
Your Majesty,
one of them stutters.
We weren't aware.
Carnon takes a menacing step forward.
Not aware? He says. Are you blind?
He waits for response. The guards shake their heads. As the three speak, I begin to edge towards the door. My heart pounds faster and faster. This might be my one opportunity to escape.
You brought foreign magic in here, Carnon says. It can be traced.
Traced?
Your Majesty, we had no involvement.
But the Fauna King is done listening. Carnon roars, slashing a clawed hand through the air. Several feet away, the guards scream as each of their stomachs rip open in four long, jagged lines. Claw marks. Carnon did that with his magic. Almost immediately, blood and innards spill out from their guts. Not wasting another second, I bolt for the door. I never make it out. Carnon grabs me from behind, his claws slicing into my skin as he spins me around.
We're not done,
he whispers into my ear. He grasps my jaw, squeezing it to the point of pain, and then he breathes into me once more. Chapter 27. I'm dying, my body rotting from the inside out. I think a day or two has gone by since my last visit with Carnon, but I can't be sure. All I know is that my life consists of shivering, sickening, and sleeping. The guard I've dubbed Lion Tail walks by my cell every so often, banging on the iron bars with his gloved hands, taunting me. I weakly manage to flip him off, but I have no idea whether flashing someone the bird is even offensive in the other world. All I know is that Lion Tail didn't freak out at the sight like I hoped he might.
Hey, Calypso, Ethereal calls out.
My head rolls weakly towards her voice.
Siren.
Yeah?
I croak weakly. Drag your bed over here, she says.
I don't know if I can, I mumble.
You can. I know it.
She doesn't even sound sorry, her voice commanding. Weak, but commanding.
Ugh, Fey warriors are too tough. It takes an embarrassingly long time to move my pallet, but eventually I do just that.
How are you holding up, Siren? Still have enough movement in your limbs?
You had me drag my bed over here, and now you ask me that?
She gives a wheezy laugh.
I'm making polite talk. Don't question it.
My lips curve up slightly. The two of us fall silent again, and my mind drifts.
The shackles, I finally say. I didn't realize how painful they must be.
I've endured worse.
Jeez.
After a moment, she adds,
We wrap cloth around the cuffs. The barrier stops most of the pain.
But not all of it. As I listen to her, I realize her voice is slurred, her speech much slower, like she picks her words carefully, losing the ability to move her mouth.
Are you all right, Ethereal?
She doesn't speak for a long time. Finally, she says,
Everything's going. Even my mind feels foggy.
From the little I know of her, I can tell Ethereal is too proud a creature to say that she's not all right. She sighs.
You know, the worst thing about this is that my wife's going to have to see me like this.
I don't bother to comment. What would Dez do when, if, I came back to him in a coffin?
She's going to take in that creepy little monster I'll inevitably birth. I know she will, that sweet, foolish woman.
You've also seen them? I ask.
I was bit by one of those creatures.
I cringe, remembering that Dez had told me those children had been close to biting me as well. Dez, just the thought of him guts me. I don't know if I'll ever get to see him again, hold him again, talk to him again. You're married? I ask, changing the subject and forcing my mind from the one thing that will make me go soft, because there is no softness in this place, and if I want to hold out for as long as possible, I have to be the hard ass I've learned to become in Dez's absence. I hear Ethereal exhale wearily.
Yeah, she says.
After a moment, she adds,
we got married in the Night Kingdom. Technically, our marriage isn't recognized in the Day Kingdom. Relations with humans aren't the only thing taboo here. But technically, I don't really give a shit.
I smile at that.
By the way, Calypso,
she says. Callie, I correct.
Callie, she repeats. Just an update. I haven't seen a human in the prison, other than you, of course.
My heart plummets. I've been here days, and I'm getting weaker with each one. I'm losing my window of opportunity. I stare down at my bracelet, twisting it around my wrist. Not all hope is lost. If I understood Carnon correctly, Dez might be able to track my magic. But if he could, wouldn't he have shown up already?
Callie,
Ethereal interrupts my thoughts.
Yeah? No one gets magically impregnated here.
Her meaning doesn't register at first, but when it does, my eyes close at that, at what she's not saying. Strong, ethereal, immobilized, powerless to stop what happened to her. It was Carnon?
The devil himself, she affirms.
I don't have words. It's happened to me before, it might very well happen to me again, and somewhere between it all you'd think I'd have something to say, but I don't. Not for brave Ethereal. She clears her throat the best she can.
Just thought you should know.
I swallow. Thank you for warning me, I whisper, my voice hoarse. But I'm not sure I'm better off knowing what happened to her, what awaits me. Sometimes knowing is just another kind of hell. It's not working. Whatever venom Carnon's trying to feed me isn't taking. I huddle in the corner of my cage, my body covered with a sheen of sweat. My entire body shakes violently. From my best guess, it's been nearly a week since I arrived. I've gone through two more of the Fauna King's ministrations, and each time my body rejects his poisoned magic, he gets more and more frustrated. He hasn't touched me yet. Perhaps the monster doesn't like victims who fight back. Though I doubt at this point I'd present much of a challenge to Carnon. I'm too weak to do much on my own. Despite my sorry state, I'm not being dragged under by his magic, not like the other women here. A horrible sort of malaise is settling into my bones. It feels like the magic will either do Carnon's bidding, or I will cease to exist. And so far, it's not doing Carnon's bidding. I'd assumed that all Fey magic worked on humans. After all, the bargainer could use his magic on me. But perhaps my assumptions were wrong. Perhaps there are some limits to Fey magic. Perhaps being a human right about now is a good thing. Although it's hard to call the state I'm in a good thing. I lay listlessly on the pallet, my dress hanging loosely on me. Now the guards simply carry me to Carnon's chambers without a fight. There's no more small talk. If I'm greeted with the evil version of Carnon, he gets right to work. If I'm met with the kinder, crazier version of Carnon, he rocks me against him, murmuring nonsense about wings and gills, claws and scales. Ethereal? I call out. Silence. It's been like that for the last several days. I begin talking to her anyway, just in case she can still hear me, telling her anything that crosses my mind. But not once do I mention the one thing that weighs most heavily on my mind. I'm going to die here. Chapter 28. Day who the fuck knows and visit number 6 with Carnon, the guy who's beginning to star in all of my nightmares. When we arrive, the guards drop me unceremoniously on the ground before retreating. Groaning a little, I push myself onto my forearms, reaching for my blindfold.
Lately, the guards have stopped binding my wrists and ankles. What's the point? I'm too weak to escape. I pull off the cloth around my eyes, blinking against the brightness of the room. I freeze when I take in my surroundings. The first thing I notice is that I'm not in Carnon's bedroom. Here, dead leaves are scattered across the floor, and spindly dead vines cover most of the walls and much of the ceiling. They're even wrapped around the great antler chandelier ending far above me. This derelict room looks like it's been left to the elements. A wild room for a wild, mad king. My gaze falls to a raised dais at the far side of the room. The massive chair perched in the center of it is a chair made entirely of bones. And sitting on it is Carnon. He assesses me from his throne. "Precious bird," he says, "you are dying." He stands, and that simple action alone sends a shiver down my spine. Today won't be like the other visits. His footsteps echo as he descends down the stairs in front of him, leaves crunching beneath his boots. I get a good look at his eyes, and it's my stepfather all over again. The half-mad lust that looks more animal than man. The trigger-short temper that can veer to anger at the slightest provocation. He stops less than a foot away from me. It's just the two of us in this room. Whatever guards or aides or officials are normally stationed here are now gone. Carnon kneels next to me. I try to scramble away, but my limbs are heavy and sluggish. I want to shriek in frustration. I'd vowed long ago to never again be a victim, and here I am, powerless beneath the will of a mad king. He begins petting my hair. "What a pretty, pretty bird. A shame you cannot fly, trapped as you are in this cage of a body." He cups my face. "You are dying because the animal in you is being smothered." "Right, that's why." "I'm dying because you're poisoning me," I say. He stares back at me, his gaze distant, and I can already tell my words didn't register with him. He begins petting my hair again. "How can a creature survive when she doesn't have gills to breathe or wings to fly?" When I don't answer, he gives me a look like my silence is making his point for him. His touch moves from my hair down my back. I try to bat away his hands, my limbs sluggish. It does no good. "Sweet creature," he says, stroking my back. "Fret not." He leans in close to my ear. "Today I will set you free." I turn to look at him, my gaze locking with those slitted pupils of his. We stare at each other for several seconds, his hands laying heavily on my back. His body begins to tremble, and then all at once he releases all of his magic right into me. His magic is like a sledgehammer to my back, driving down into my skin, into my bones with the force of a freight train. The shockwave from it ripples out around us, shaking the very walls of his throne room. Then comes the pain, pain more vast and acute than anything I've ever felt. My siren rises in response. I open my mouth, my eyes rolling back, and I scream and scream as agony unlike anything I've ever felt rips through me. My body feels like it's unmaking itself, my bones breaking, my muscles ripping, my skin flaying itself. It's unending and unfathomable, the force of it pinning me to the ground. I'm helpless beneath Carnon's grip on my back, a grip that I can't possibly shake at this point. The Fauna King laughs himself hoarse as a sound like thunder rumbles in the distance. "My beautiful bird sings best when she hurts." He presses down hard against my skin. "Siren," he shouts, "come forth." Another wave of power slams into me. My screams hit a new decibel, the sound harmonizing with itself. My spine and ribs feel like they're cracking, shattering. I'm no longer made of muscle and bone. It's all been pulverized under Carnon's magic. "Yes," the madman cries. "More." My body seems to buckle as another wave of energy floods through me. My skin is burning, burning, and my back is on fire. It must be. That's where the worst of the pain is. Carnon releases me, but the agonizing power he's shoving into me doesn't ebb. If anything, it gets worse, because it's changing course. Rather than burrowing into me, it's now trying to force itself out.
I hunch over, breathing heavy, my hair plastered to my face.
More!
Karnon shouts. I'm tearing apart from the inside. My skin no longer fits my body. It's much too small. I heave over and over, barely able to endure the pain I'm in.
More!
My screams become increasingly more agonized as his power batters against the inside of my flesh.
More!
All at once, my screams cut off and the magic erupts. My skin splits down either side of my spine, and I hear the sound of wet popping and snapping. And then, I feel it. Two sticky, wet protrusions push out from my ripped flesh, unfolding down my back. Then, finally, finally, the magic abates. I collapse in on myself, shivering, shaking, blood everywhere.
Yes, my beautiful bird, you are set free,
Karnon says gleefully. I can't move, no energy left. As I lay there, I catch sight of my hands. Where once were nails, now I have sharp black claws, and my forearms, delicate, semi-transparent scales cover them, glittering gold where blood splatter doesn't cover them. I can barely make sense of the sight, but then I glimpse something over my shoulder. Something dark, something bloody, and there's a weird weight against my back. The siren within me is whispering, the worlds curling themselves around me. I am powerful. I am vengeance. I am unleashed. Karnon's steps approach me. He grabs those dark, bloody things behind me, stretching them up and out. I feel my muscles stretch as I extend my arms, but my arms are right in front of me. I catch another glimpse of those dark things, and then I understand. Wings. I grew wings. Chapter 29. At the sight of them, I heave again. This must be a bad dream. Claws and scales and wings. I'm now more beast than woman.
How do you like them?
Karnon asks, his words taunting. I roll my forehead against the bloody marble floor. Can't bear the sight. Far behind me, someone pounds on the doors that lead in, the wood shuddering against the force of the strikes. If I had any more energy, I would have jumped at the noise. Instead, I just lay there. The doors continue to bang, and bang. Karnon drops my wings, and with a wet smack, they flop to my sides. His footfalls retreat.
Boom!
The metal doors blow open, wood splintering every which way. The massive double doors hit the throne room's floor, their impact shaking the walls of the room. I sense him before I hear his agonized bellow. Dez! He found me! A weak thread of happiness pushes through my exhaustion. Shadows curl around me like smoke. I stare tiredly at them.
So your mate found you after all, Karnon says. Took him long enough.
The air shifts, and a moment later Dez is crouched at my side. I feel his hand glide over the sensitive flesh of my wings.
I'm so sorry, Cherub,
he whispers, his voice breaking.
For everything. He will pay.
I begin to shake.
Tell me, how do you like your mate now?
Karnon says mockingly.
She's improved, no?
I catch another glimpse of myself. My golden dusting of scales, my sharpened fingernails, my wings. Suddenly I can't look at Dez. I'm monstrous, not a woman, not anymore. Dez's hands leave me. He stands and the atmosphere of the room feels suddenly ominous. I turn my head just in time to see the bargainer approaching Karnon.
You know it's breaking the most sacred law of hospitality to attack a king within his own castle,
Karnon says, backing up. The bargainer doesn't bother responding. He is the embodiment of wrath. I can see it building beneath his skin, burning in his eyes, a bottomless abyss of it. It reminds me of Karnon's cold gaze. But my mate is so calm. All of that fury is contained within him as he moves, and it only serves to make him appear all the more menacing.
I never imagined you'd go for a slave, but weak attracts weak.
Karnon taunts, trying to get a rise out of Dez even as he begins to back away. The reaction never comes.
The bargainer continues stalking after Carnon with the same steady, coiled rage as before, his face set in uncompromising lines. Though I did enjoy her moans. And still Dez doesn't react. Carnon growls, clearly growing impatient. Suddenly and without warning, he swipes his hand through the air. I feel the magic brush by me, and too late I let out a thin cry, remembering those guards Carnon disemboweled days ago. Dez doesn't even try to block the attack. I see cloth and skin split in four jagged claw marks across his stomach, and his blood begins to spill. No, I croak out weakly, beginning to drag myself across the floor. The bargainer's face is still a mask of anger, and as I watch, I see his wounds begin to stitch themselves up. I feel his magic building and building. It thickens the air as it fills the room. Dez is all darkness. It gathers around him, dimming the room. Bit by bit, the shadows snuff out the lights. His face is as sinister as I've ever seen it. Even Carnon looks a little unsure at this point, taking a stumbling step backwards. The shadows sweep over the room, blanketing me and everything else until the room is black as pitch.
"You think I cannot see in the dark?" the Fauna King says.
It's quiet. Then,
"I am the dark."
Dez's power detonates, blasting through the room, whipping my hair back. Had I thought that Carnon's was staggering, it's nothing. Nothing next to the fury and sheer strength of the magic that moves through me. Warm liquid sprays against me, splattering against my hair, my face. I taste the coppery tang of it on my lips. Blood. Whose? With a deafening shriek, the walls and ceiling explode outwards, bits of marble and plaster scattering to the four winds, the building essentially vaporized. And then it's over. The darkness recedes, and when it does, the first thing I see under the dim twilight sky is meat. Meat and bits of bones smeared across the room. That's all that's left of Carnon. Kneeling behind him is Dez, who doesn't have a fleck of blood on his clothes, nor a strand of white blonde hair out of place. Other than the torn, bloodied edges of his clothes, he looks utterly untouched. I glance around us. This must have been a grand castle, but now all I can see of it is its foundation and bits of furniture that weren't completely obliterated in the explosion. Beyond the castle walls, the dark evergreen trees that surround it are utterly untouched. Dez did all this. I shiver at the sight of all of it. The bargainer raises his head, his eyes locking with mine.
The King of Fauna is no more.
Dez comes up to me, his hands sliding under my body as he lifts me up. I let out a small, pained noise. Everything aches. My scalp, my teeth, my bones, my toes, my heart. Especially that last one.
It's all right, Cherub. It's all right.
I make a choked sound and turn my head towards his chest. It's not all right. I can feel the tips of my wings dragging along the ground. A faint dusting of scales cover my arms, and I have claws. Monstrous, just as monstrous as my captors. And now I'll always carry the reminder. The only thing that tempers my revulsion is my will. I'm struggling to stay conscious. Dez keeps casting worried glances down at me.
Stay with me, love.
I force my eyes to remain open.
Good girl,
he says, stroking my hair back.
We're going home.
His expression is filled with such agony. It's painful for him to even look at me. Perhaps it was better when he was simply out of my life. Then it was a single blow I managed to live with. Seeing him look at me this way over and over again, each moment is a dagger to the gut. In response to my anxiety, my wings tense, ready to lift.
Be calm, love,
Dez says. Slowly, I force myself to relax my back, my wings going limp again. He bends his knees, tensing. A moment later, we shoot into the sky. I stare at the stars, the beautiful, desolate stars, my body at the end of its rope. My eyelids close.
Callie.
But not even Dez's voice brings me back from the darkness. Chapter 30. I wake to the sensation of a hand petting my back. I wearily blink my eyes open. I don't immediately recognize my surroundings, not until I notice the bronze wall sconces and a Moroccan archway. Dez's room. I lay splayed out on my stomach in the middle of his bed, nestled amongst all his sheets. Why am I on my stomach? I never sleep on my stomach.
Cherub, you're awake.
The bargainer's smooth voice raises goosebumps across my skin. I begin to smile, still confused, when I remember. The prison, Carnon, my metamorphosis. My metamorphosis. I reach behind my back. When my fingers brush against feathers, I let out a choked cry. It wasn't a dream.
They're beautiful,
Dez says. His hand moves over them. Under his touch, they move. My feathers make a whisper-soft noise as they rub against each other. I squeeze my eyes shut. Don't, I say, my voice hoarse. I don't want to hear about how pretty they are. They were forced on me by a madman, by a psychopath who would have laughed had the transformation killed me, the same monster who raped thousands of women. I was ready to die. I was even ready to live in a state of suspended animation. I wasn't ready for this. And I know it's not the worst fate, but it feels that way, because now I look like all those fauna fae, my captors, my tormentors. It was one thing to endure the punishments, another to look at myself and see them.
Don't what?
Dez says.
Don't touch you? Compliment you?
All of it, I say, opening my eyes. I'm horrifying to look at. My arms shake as I begin to push myself up into a sitting position. I catch sight of those dusky gold scales that run up my forearms like plated armor. I have an itch to pluck them from my skin one by one. As soon as I begin to sit up, I feel pressure at my back. My unwieldy wings are too long, the bones too delicate. I can't sit up in bed. I feel a frustrated tear leak out as I flop back on my stomach. So weak. A moment later, Dez scoops me up. My wings tangle behind me, the tips dragging along the ground. The feathers are pitch black, but under the light they have an iridescent sheen. They are pretty, and I hate them all the more for it. As he carries me, my fey king looks at me like he's the one drowning. He catches me staring.
We will get through this, he swears. Just like we did the last time. We've done this once before, we can do it again.
I don't know if I can. My voice breaks. Dez sets me on my feet in front of a full-length mirror in his chambers.
Tell me what you see, he says.
I frown, first at him, then reluctantly at my reflection. I don't even want to look. I don't want to see if I'm more monster than human. But when I do look, I see my face, and it is utterly unchanged. Forgetting Dez is standing by me, I touch my cheek. I thought that maybe I wouldn't recognize myself in the mirror, that I'd truly be a beast. But I'm not. My eyes move to my hand. For a long moment, I stare at the sharp claws, and then my gaze moves to my fingers. Those are still human. In fact, if I filed my claws down, other than my nails' black color, they would look like regular hands. My forearms have a delicate sheen of scales which glitter under the light. They begin at my wrist and end before my elbow, and a few rows of them ring my upper arm before fading back into my normal flesh. They don't continue up my neck or chest or face. I lift the skirt of my dress to look at my legs. Those, too, are free of scales. They look how they've always looked. And my feet are still human feet. No claws adorn my toes. And when my gaze moves back to my reflection, I still have the same proportions. I'm the same woman I've always been, just with a few additions. And while those few additions, claws, scales, and wings, are painful to look at, I'm not the monster I thought I might be. In fact, if anything, I look a little fey.
What do you see?
Dez asks again. I swallow. I see Callie.
As do I.
He dips his mouth close to my ear.
Cherub, people like us are not victims. We're someone's nightmare.
I'm not a victim. I'm not a victim. How had I forgotten this? Because somewhere along the way I had forgotten, and it nearly broke me. I'm not a victim. Here in the other world, I lost my most powerful weapon, my glamour, but I gained claws and wings. My eyes moved to Dez. Teach me again how to be someone's nightmare.
I needed to feel dangerous, powerful, traits I lost somewhere along the way. A hint of his wicked smile appears, and cloaked in his shadows, it's menacing.
With pleasure, mate.
I stand inside one of the Night Kingdom's reappropriated warehouses, staring at the multitude of sleeping female warriors. Thousands of them. Killing Carnon should have released all these women from whatever dark magic held them under. But it hasn't. And now there are so many more sleeping women, uncovered from the subterranean rooms far below Carnon's castle. The partially empty warehouse is suddenly teeming with coffins, and the women in all the new ones are pregnant. No one knows when or if they'll give birth. The other kingdoms have also received their share of sleeping warriors recovered from the bowels of Carnon's prison, warriors belonging to the kingdoms of Day, Flora, and, strangest of all, Fauna. Carnon had been abusing his kingdom's female soldiers. I can barely wrap my mind around it. There's still the matter of the male warriors, the men who are still missing. And then there are the female captives like Aetherial, who are recovering from their ordeal. Captives who have all complained of a darkness that still lingers within them. Nothing solved. I touch my hand to one of the coffin lids, my claw tips clicking against the glass. "Wake up," I whisper, glamour slipping into my voice. If the sleeping women hear, they don't obey. I even wait for the sound of wraith-like voices to rise around me just as they had before. But all is silent. All is still. Smoke and shadows wrap around my arms. A moment later, they coalesce into hands.
"Cherub,"
Dez whispers into my ear, squeezing my arms gently. At his voice, my wings stir, brushing themselves against his chest. I shouldn't be surprised that he found me. He's the bargainer, lord of secrets, master of shadows, and king of the night. He touches my jaw, turning my face. I close my eyes and swallow. It feels good to have the bargainer touch me like this, despite the fact that Carnon did the same thing day after day. Because with Dez, it's different. It always has been. It always will be.
"I woke and you were gone,"
he says. I understand what he doesn't say, that he feared he lost me all over again. I had to see them. The words are barely audible. I had to see the women that were less fortunate than me. The ones who were unable, even after Carnon's death, to escape his clutches. My eyes scan the room, my chest tight at the sight. Had I not been human, I could have been among them, my body laid out amongst all the others. My lungs not breathing, my heart not beating, my body not alive. But not dead, either. Suspended somewhere between the two. Waiting. "He's coming for you." Goosebumps break out across my skin. "It's not over," I whisper. I can feel it in my bones. We'd simply fired the first shot.
"Let our enemies come,"
Dez says, his silky voice lethal.
"They have a reckoning waiting at the end of my blade, and my siren's vengeance to deal with."
I turn to face Dez, his white blonde hair swept back beneath his crown. His tattoos and war cuffs are hidden under his fitted fey attire, but even without them showing, he is so obviously a dangerous thing, with his glittering eyes and hulking wings, which have been out almost constantly since the night he killed Carnon. He cups the side of my face.
"Let our enemies come and I will kill them all. So long as you're at my side, Cherub, I have something to fight for."
This is perhaps the most amazing mystery of all in the aftermath of Carnon's death. My physical changes haven't dimmed what Dez feels for me. He actually seems quite fond of the changes, and every time he looks at my wings, my claws, my scales with adoration, I tolerate them a little more, and I fall for my mate over and over again. This man who saved me so many times, who's pulled me from my own tormented darkness into his, this man who waited 7 years for me, this man who, against all reason and odds, is my mate. I lean in and brush a kiss along his lips. "I'll be at your side, I promise, till darkness dies." This has been Rhapsodic, The Bargainer, Book 1, written by Laura Thalassa,
Narrated by Susanna Jones. Copyright 2016 by Laura Thalassa. Production copyright 2017 by Laura Thalassa.
Audible hopes you have enjoyed this program.